Okay, thank you. There's agendas on the table for anyone that would like one. We're going to unfortunately skip the Pledge of Allegiance tonight because I don't see a flag. So we'll skip that tonight. Typically, we do that in our meeting rooms or we have someone that holds one, but we don't have one here. So we'll skip that tonight. All right, so I'll accept the motion to approve the minutes from the August 31st, 2021 meeting.
Move to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
Second? Yeah. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So we're going to go right into the resolutions then. We have quite a few here. So these are for the October 19th session. So Resolution 325 is establishing the Ulster County Land Bank Development Corporation, a New York State land bank. And Legislator Bartels, would you like us to postpone this again, or where are we with that?
I would. I'm waiting for the housing committee, not the housing committee, but the housing group, which will be advising on the ARPA funds to meet. And also the next step is really to go to the city of Kingston with specific gaps, as I mentioned. So hopefully between those two things will happen within the next month.
Right.
Next month I'll be back with you. Yeah, it's just difficult because it's a little, it feels a bit like cart before the horse.
Yes.
Appointing a board when we don't yet have approval, but it is the first step.
So have you taken action to try and find people for that board yet, or what the makeup is? Or
I haven't. I'm open to suggestions. Yeah. But I mean, it's a bit flexible as it is in the resolution, meaning, you know, that the members could come from any, we don't have to be specific, or we can choose to ask for specific members. And I'm open, this committee, the committee of jurisdiction, I'm open to this committee's suggestions on that. I'm also open to suggestions from the full legislature in terms of membership, recognizing that it's kind of a big ask to ask people to serve on a board that's not yet authorized to exist in a real way. But I do think, and that's sort of the trouble, because I think it's really important we pick the right people as well, rather than just putting in seven people in anticipation of getting.
Right. So anybody else have questions for Tracy? So another quick question. So are there a specific number of members on that board as dictated by state law or anything that we should be aware of? Do they have to be, you know?
There's a minimum number.
Yeah.
Which is five. But there isn't a maximum. I chose to put the resolution at the number that Albany County has.
Okay.
Again, I'm open to suggestions in terms of this, recognizing that it's the first step. But I do think we should be moving forward with it. So, if we don't get movement in terms of the discussions with Kingston and the meeting with the working group, I would respectfully ask that we try to get some names in there in order to at least get to the next step, to the next phase of this, so we can make an application, which is really where we're headed.
Right. Okay. So the only thing that I'm going to ask is are you looking to do that at the November or December meeting, or maybe? Okay, so then if there's any way that you could get us the information as to what we would need for, you know, what the board members, you know, I'll say makeup or background should be, is there any rules or anything around that? It can be anybody, and you can have all seven from...
I can send you Albany County's makeup. I mean, Albany County makes suggestions as to which, you know, the background, specific background for each member. Some of them don't make sense to me, frankly. I mean, one of them is required to be law enforcement. I don't know that we want to go there.
But, okay.
And I'm also not sure that we want to limit ourselves in terms of making those, codifying those suggestions.
Well, no.
I'm open to it.
Well, I'm thinking more in terms of, you know, folks on the committee and other legislators thinking of people who may be willing or able to serve on the board, right?
Yeah.
And so if we have an idea of what the backgrounds were in Albany County and other places, and that might help us. All right. Okay, go ahead. Sure.
One thing that might be helpful is if you could email us or just work with the staff to send out an email, because I find that's really helpful to be able to forward that to potential people. So I have an email where I forward that and say, hey, look at this. I've done that before when we've gotten calls for, you know, we need to fill the mental health committee or whatever it is. So that would be a good way for those that aren't on the committee or for those that aren't really tracking this to put it in front of us and also give us a nice asset to put in front of potential members.
Right.
That's next.
All right. Any other discussion on that one? Then I'll accept the motion to postpone.
I'll make the motion.
And second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. So the next resolution on here is Resolution 395 is setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 7 of 2021, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster in relation to evictions, to be held on Tuesday, November 16th at 7:05 p.m. And I'll accept the motion for discussion.
Make the motion.
A second.
Okay. And Legislator Uchitel, would you like to brief us on the updates for this?
So, as was requested during our prior discussion, we've had a few other lawyers take a look at this, and they've made some suggestions for changes that we can make. With one exception, I'll get to that in a second. They're not significantly material changes to the spirit of the law, but we did change things to just bring it to clarify the definitions and to kind of just tighten it up a little bit. I know there were a couple of formatting errors previously, so those have all been fixed in this version. And then the one material change that we did make, and you'll see the section 4 has been, we're going to strike, or my request is that we strike that entirely. It was a section on intimidation. The spirit or the legislative intent is that intimidation is something that a lot of tenants face to be encouraged to leave a property voluntarily rather than be evicted when they're afraid, for a variety of reasons. While I still believe in that spirit, I have come to appreciate that this is not an appropriate place to address the intimidation issue. So we're going to pull that from this legislation. I'll make that motion in a moment, but I would like us to move forward with scheduling the public hearing. I think this is something that I know there are strong opinions on both sides of this issue, and I think it's our responsibility to the public that we create a venue to be able to hear that. So with that, I would move that we accept the changes as amended in the packet here.
Well, prior to that, if there's other discussion, if anyone would like to discuss.
Yes, go ahead. Can I just get clarification on which four and what section?
So it's on page 7 of the printout.
So it's back here now.
So is it
section 4?
It's not number 4, no. Section 4.
It says intimidation.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yep. Yeah, we're striking that section. In conversation became clear to me that it potentially was going to do something that I do not intend to do, which is to unfairly harm landlords, which is not the intent here. So we're going to remove it.
The minutes, sign off for the minutes should be right here.
Oh.
So
it's on white paper.
We'll get it out here. All right. So
with that, I move that we accept the amended resolution, or accept the resolution as amended.
Further discussion?
Yes, we if people would like to, Herb, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any provisions in here with regards to, this is in relationship to evictions, but it doesn't hold harmless the property owner from having to pay their taxes even though someone is not paying their rent. I think that's a little unfair. So I'm going to have to review this in more detail, and unless we come up with some sort of a proposed law so that landlords don't lose their property due to delinquent taxes because their rentees or lessees are not paying their rent, I think that needs to happen to be equitable in with this legislation.
So just as a point of information, if someone's not paying rent, you can evict them with this legislation. Not paying rent is grounds for eviction.
So Herb, are you asking that this address, the folks who didn't pay rent during COVID and now are not going to pay rent, or?
Well, this does not address the landlord that has not collected rent during COVID and is subject to you know, foreclosure and auctioning of their property because they didn't collect rent. I think, you know, we need to also think about that too. They're business owners, they're small business owners in our community, in our county, and we are, you know, with this legislation protecting renters from eviction, but we're not protecting the small businesses and landowners from being foreclosed upon when they're not collecting any rent.
Go ahead, sure.
So just as a
well, hold on. Hold
yeah,
just,
let's go to
yeah, yeah, Lynn,
yeah,
and then
so
we'll come to you.
Foreclosure,
thanks.
Are you saying from a bank foreclosure?
No,
or from a taxes.
Ulster County foreclosure due to non-payment of taxes.
Yeah, but that would be, it would be 3 years just because of the way we structure it. We can't foreclose unless they're in arrears for 3 years. So, you know, hopefully that wouldn't be the case. They would be able to catch up quickly, but we wouldn't be foreclosing on them for not paying taxes for 3 years. They have 3 years before the county steps in and would consider that. So
which is roughly next year. 2020, 21, then foreclose on 22.
Not necessarily 21. Well, maybe it depends.
If there were a year in arrears or two in
yeah.
arrears, then
depends
it's next
on,
year,
right?
Right. Yeah.
Right. I see, hear what you're saying. You're looking for some deferral from the county for some assistance there. I'm not
right. Sure. I mean, they would have to prove that due to something like this, they're not collecting the rent that they would and should. I don't know. I think there should be provisions in there to protect the small business owners in Ulster County that lease and rent properties.
In addition, on page
yeah.
three, the second paragraph says the tenant has failed to pay rent due.
They're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if the tenant, so her, I think what you're referring to is the moratorium, which is keeping, which is the reason people aren't paying rent right now. And I agree that moratorium cannot continue indefinitely. That's not fair to small business, you know, businesses, to families that have properties that they're renting out. So this is not intended to make that, to extend that moratorium. You're correct, it's not intended to address it in any way, but this definitely establishes protections for landlords that are have tenants that have not paid rent. Those tenants would be evicted even under this legislation.
And that's a long drawn out process. It's very difficult to evict someone. It takes months, if not years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this starts a process to protect them, and then you file in court to evict them. And a year, year and a half later, you're still fighting the battle, and you still have to pay your taxes. Okay, I'm sorry.
So can yeah. I make a recommendation,
sure.
Herb? And so, how about we do this? Why don't we, you know, because a public hearing is a public hearing, right? It's not binding. We go there and we listen to other people's opinion, and I'm sure we're going to get a lot of feedback from the public on this.
Mm-hmm.
So my suggestion would be that we go ahead and pass the public hearing, and then you guys can run it by your counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and see
mm-hmm.
what they say, and have them, you know, maybe propose amendments to this, and then we'll look at it then. You okay with that? You know,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then we'll, that way, you know, we can, you know, keep it moving along, right?
Thank
and
you.
And also, if there are major changes that we need to make,
mm-hmm.
that will prevent it from going, you know, even if there is a public hearing and there's a major change to it, then it will prevent it from being voted on, right? We would have to have another public hearing.
Exactly my intention.
Right.
Great.
Okay.
Cool, thank you.
Yep. Yep. All right.
But I would like to make this amendment. So if I can have a
yep,
second,
go ahead.
I've made a, I move
second.
That we, thank
okay.
you.
All those in favor of the amended
aye.
Local
aye.
Law?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. I'll make a motion that we vote for the public hearing then.
I'll second that.
Okay, all those in favor of scheduling the public hearing?
Aye. Aye.
All right, great, thank you. Okay, so we're going to go to 448, which is authorizing the county executive to submit an application and insurances to the New York State Board of Office of Community Renewal for Community Development Block Grants for the fund for grant funds for the year 2021 Department of Planning.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. 449, which is authorize the county executive to submit an application and assurances to the New York State Office of Department of Transportation for Transportation Alternative Program, TAP, funding for the construction of a rail trail from High Mount to Bel Air, day use area, Department of Planning.
I'll move it.
Second.
Is there any discussion on that? Or?
Can I ask, have we had a presentation on this effort? I mean, I know that there had been discussion a while ago, but I hadn't seen anything until I saw this.
Right.
And I know that there were several studies that occurred, so right. it would be helpful just to...
I'm prepared to offer that presentation right now.
So, you know...
And there was a report that was forwarded.
Right. And
I don't know if it was just
recent?
Our committee.
I don't recall. Yeah. Thank you.
It's a few months ago.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And we,
thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. What's your name? Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, I'm not opposed to it. I just hadn't recalled saying it.
I'm happy to provide an overview answering questions if you have any.
Thank
well,
you.
I'm going to review what you just gave me, and I'll give you a buzz.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
I'm not sure. Does everyone know? I don't know if everyone has met you yet.
No. Yeah. Sure. New. That's
Brian Black, Principal Transportation Planner for the Ulster County Transportation Council, in the Ulster County Planning Department. Dennis sends his regards. He's on his first vacation in the 10 years since I've worked for him.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I've never seen you before, 10 years.
Use it or lose it.
We conducted this feasibility study using Transportation Council funds in 2020 and 2021. Just recently completed it in June. There was significant public outreach. We focused on the corridor from the essentially Bel Air access area of the county road to the 5 mile corridor down through Big Indian. And that is compliant with the previous resolution passed by the legislature to promote a trail in this location. So we conducted the feasibility study, did a very detailed analysis of existing conditions, bridge conditions, environmental conditions throughout the corridor. We had an excellent technical advisory committee to assist us, including members from the New York State DEC, Olympic Regional Development Authority, as well as local groups like Catskill Mountain Keeper and Woodstock Land Conservancy, Kevin Smith among them, as well as all the relevant plant department agencies, including Andrew Emmerich from Planning,
Town of
Shandaken, thank you, and also the Department of the Environment. The feasibility study is very detailed. It's one of the best feasibility studies I think our office has done in recent time. It should answer every question you might have from a preliminary engineering standpoint. The proposal is for a 2.5 mile stretch. It is phase one. The entire study covered 5 miles. We sliced it into three phases. This is the most costly of the three phases due to the bridges that are present. You've seen the Giggle Hollow Bridge at the Bel Air day use area, which is the southern terminus of phase one. It is a really stunning bridge, but it will likely be costly to do some of the decking on that bridge. And there's one other bridge as well. So that's where the significant costs come in. The funding source that we're requesting is a competitive federal aid source called the Transportation Alternatives Program. We've used that funding source for development of Hudson Valley Rail Trail Phase 4, as well as the current Kingston Rail Trail to connect to Hurley, and the Midtown Linear Park are all using the same funding source. Mm-hmm. It's an 80-20 split, 20% local share is mandatory. It is competitive. A significant portion of the costs are resulting from engineering costs, which comprise roughly $600,000 of the total grant cost. there any other salient points I can offer tonight?
I was just going to point out that making this section a trail is part of the, I think it was 2015 resolution 455, the very last one where we designated each section of the corridor to
I knew about it, but I didn't recall ever having a presentation or saying before, so thank you for that.
We did get one last point, significant support from the public for this particular grant proposal. Town of Shandaken, New York State DEC, and several elected officials have provided support, including the office of Kevin Cahill, and Congressman Delgado, and several others.
Tracy, anybody on the committee? Any questions first? Okay, go ahead, Tracy.
I was just going to ask, is the full feasibility study in the backup?
I don't think it was, actually.
In the backup?
I don't think so.
No.
It is available online, and I can certainly make it available. There's also a very detailed map book included as part of the online PDF. With large scale format maps, they're very detailed and will be very useful.
Great. Maybe if you could send over the report and the link.
Sure.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
Sure, go ahead. Yeah.
I wrote a letter of support for this from the Woodstock Land Conservancy. I know this area pretty well. I've ridden this rail corridor and also raced and ridden on the Bel Air cross-country ski and mountain bike trail system. This is a very important project for Western Shandaken and the Catskills. It ties together multiple important centers: Pine Hill Village,
mm-hmm.
Bel Air Beach day use area with parking and day use facilities, and of course the beach. And it's a consistent grade, so it will provide an alternative to being out on Route 28 on the shoulder, which is a very steep hill and a very heavily used highway.
Mm-hmm.
And it has, it's going to connect into Bel Air's cross country ski and mountain bike trail network, and then there's also a trail plan on the 1,200-acre Big Indian parcel that was purchased as part of the grand compromise on the Bel Air Crossroads Resort.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a trail plan that DEC will be at some point implementing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is that it all ties together, and what really ties it all together is the rail corridor, is the trail,
mm-hmm.
because it provides access to up onto the mountain,
mm-hmm.
provides access from, say, Bel Air Beach, the Pine Hill,
mm-hmm.
up to High Mountain, where I think there's a proposed interconnect with the Delaware and Ulster Tourist Railroad.
That's what I was going to ask, yeah.
Track and reestablish operations, also in keeping with the policy.
New York State DEC also provided us a statement that it is in compliance and conformance with their land use management plan for the area as well.
Okay.
And just one final note, the proposed trail surface and general design is nearly identical to that used at the Ashokan
mm-hmm.
Rail Trail.
Okay. All right.
And one other comment. Can you speak to the restoration of the corridor, like the culverts? And you know, as with the Ashokan, I think there were 43 culverts that had to be replaced or repaired. So a big portion of that, I'll let Brian speak to it. He's the planner. But I think that's a major primary thing here is preserving the corridor and restoring it to good use.
That's right. The inventory in the planning document is extensive. There is significant drainage, significant drainage issues throughout the corridor from repetitive flooding. I think mm-hmm. we're all familiar with the types of flooding that mm-hmm. we've experienced up there. So that is where some of the engineering work will come into play, and obviously some of the construction costs. I should note, however, there are quite a few historic structures here, and it's a primary goal of our feasibility study and would be of the project to maintain as many of those structures as possible. The historic stonework, for example, really provides a lot of the cultural character, I think, that will be a major attraction of this trail. Again, the Giggle Hollow Bridge is a really stunning piece of engineering and architecture, and I think will be a major draw as well. But there is the corridor will require significant work in order to make it functional as a multi-use, non-motorized facility.
So does this plan include removing the tracks permanently? It does, huh?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
You're going to have to vote on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Separately.
It's county property. Yeah, gotcha. Yep. All right, so any further discussion on this, folks? And are we ready to move on it, or? Okay.
I moved it.
Okay, second, right? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, great, thank you. Okay. Resolution number 450, establishing capital project number 601 for the Small Business and Economic Recovery Department of Economic Development.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Okay, so Mr. Weedman has brought a little handout for us this evening to talk about this.
Thank you.
So this relates to this and the following resolution, which would authorize a contract with UCEDA in the amount of $435,000 related to work at Enterprise West. So I'm here. I won't go through this in tons of detail, but I'd like to be brief and mainly answer questions that you all may have. I know Brian shared some questions that he had, so I'm happy to answer those. But wanted to share with you a document that you can take back and consider, and if there's further questions, be happy to answer those at another time, too. I think what I'm here to say is that we're at a pivotal moment with this Enterprise West project. As you all know, we've gone through a series of steps with your support to get where we are now. I'll speak to a little bit of the updates that you've probably seen in the newspaper, but really I'd like to just start by saying that we're at a point where we need your support in order to continue the progress that we've made. We all recognize, I think, that this site is an important economic asset, not just for the town of Ulster or the city of Kingston, but for the whole region. It's one of the region's premier economic development sites. And we're in a point now where I think we see a healthy and strong interest in the site, as I'll speak to in the responses that we received from a couple of requests for expressions of interest. But obviously the market is in a weird state. I think everybody can recognize that coming out of the COVID pandemic, we're seeing a hot market in the residential side. And as we talked about in the past, I think it's now starting to come true that we see a hot market on the commercial side. How long that lasts is anybody's guess. But I think that it's important that we continue to kind of keep our foot to the gas and make sure that we're moving forward with the speed of that market to take advantage of it. I've reiterated on the back of the first page the economic development goals that we set back in the initial RFEI and reiterated in the surplus resolution that you all passed that surplus the property from the county to the LDC. And so I just want to reiterate that those are the things that we're trying to achieve here. And I think that if my sense is correct, that in passing that resolution to surplus the property, these were endorsed by the legislature as worthy goals for the redevelopment of the site. And I'm here to tell you that I think we're on track to achieve these goals and really are excited about the progress that we're making. On the next page, I've tried to kind of give the high-level overview that I know many of you have asked for in the past of what's really the plan here. I think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, we've accomplished some of the early steps of that plan. First thing, obviously, was this was a property that had been sitting empty for too long. We took possession through foreclosure action, and then with your blessing, transferred it to the LDC. With your help and support through Capital Project 576 last December, we were able to stabilize and assess the properties to make sure that they didn't continue to deteriorate and that we got them up to the basic standards for occupancy. And we've been working since then to determine market interest. We had an RFEI back in January of last year that solicited 22 responses, mostly from potential tenants, people, businesses in the community really desperate for additional space to expand their business. And then we also reissued that RFEI back in September for a short window, recognizing that we needed development partners, people with the financial capital to help us really take this project to the finish line when it comes to the expensive work that's required in the building to fit it out and make sure that all the facilities in the building are ready to handle those kind of tenant needs. And so we're in this stage that I've marked in green here. The little arrows and the fancy artwork is really meant to depict that this is the kind of meat of the work. We understand and recognize that it would take years to raise the financial capital to do a massive renovation of this building. And instead, we have, I think, shared as we've gone through this process that the approach we're taking is to take smaller steps. In here, I talk a little bit about the disappointing news that I think you probably saw in the newspaper, that the Farm Bridge, which was going to be one of our first tenants in the building, came upon really difficult financial times as a compounding circumstance of both being on the east side of the campus with all the challenges that that entails, being having the owner over there as your landlord is not an easy thing, and it hasn't been for them for years, and then with the pandemic and the pressures that that put on the business. We had hoped that they would make it to the point where they would be able to move into a new space that would allow them the extra room and not have them dealing with issues like their roof and the drainage and the pests that they had to deal with on the east side of the campus, but they really, quite frankly, ran out of steam and weren't able to make it there. So that was unfortunate because that was our very first kind of move to be able to generate revenue on the site, which would then have allowed us to move to the next wave and get additional tenants in there with that revenue. We, as a result of that setback, we reissued this RFEI, and it was out of recognition that without those first tenants that would be able to generate revenue, we need a development partner that can help us get the capital that's needed to make long-term improvements to get other high-value tenants in the building. And so I think this cycle that we're going to go through of occupying and then improving is one that we now have the partners lined up. I'm excited to say that as a result of that RFEI, we have three developers that expressed interest in the property. One of them that I think the advisory committee was excited about and that they've advanced a recommendation to the UCEDA board that they'll take up next week is the developer of iPark 84, which is the former IBM site in Fishkill. They also have a portfolio of projects all over the Northeast. I think are a really exciting developer that has the capacity and the interest to really partner with UCEDA to be able to take this to the next level. So I've given a little bit more in here on the steps that we've taken. I'll let you review that at your leisure. But ultimately, you know, I think it's important to recognize that with these two resolutions, what we're trying to accomplish here is to get the funding that we need in order to take the necessary steps to enter into that partnership with a developer so that we can advance this project. A couple key things. We need appraisals. I think actually this group, when we met back in the beginning of the year, we talked about that, and that was something that I think this group recommended that we do. We need the funding to be able to do appraisals on these properties. When they were taken through a foreclosure action, that didn't involve any of the standard stuff that happens when there's a real estate transaction. So appraisals, survey work we also need in order to enter into a partnership with a developer, and architecture and engineering to make sure that as we get first wave of tenants in there that we're able to assist with that occupancy. And as well, this includes some funding for the early stages of ongoing maintenance on the building. So as we get tenants in there, we need to be able to take care of the building. We need to have leasing agent work to be able to manage those tenants. And then finally, there's some essential improvements that as we've further explored the building, understand that in order to get tenants in there, there's work on the fire system that needs to happen. So that's one of the elements of the capital project as well. I'll leave it at that. I think that was a lot, and I know that there are probably questions.
Okay. All right, so questions we get, Jim?
Well, it's not so much a question as it is kind of a statement, and that is that it was my impression the last time you came to us for the waste lines that, okay, we weren't happy about that, but we participate. And now here we are again with another request. And I would suggest that this is something that a bank should be approached about. Not this group again. I mean, we took an asset off our balance sheet, we gave it to a corporation and said, run with it. It's a considerable asset. And, you know, in the role of a developer, you take risk and you get reward. Have you spoken to any lender about, this is a pretty insignificant amount in the scheme of things. Have you talked to anybody? Or is this the easiest way? Come to the city, come to the county and you know, look for that money.
So if I might, in response, two things. One, we have talked with lenders about borrowing capital in order to do work on this building. And the big challenge is without a stream of revenue, it is very difficult to secure a loan. So until we can get tenants in there, that is going to be a challenge. And quite frankly, the investments that are worthy of a mortgage and a loan are not investments like these that are necessary, immediate soft costs that get us to a point where we can partner with a developer. I think the
are you saying a developer won't do this deal because of $300,000, $400,000?
I'm saying that in order to enter into discussions with a developer, we need an appraisal. We need a survey. We need to be able to carry the building while we work through those deals.
So my question is, how much money does UCEDA have? They have a couple hundred thousand, correct?
There's $200,000 in UCEDA's bank account.
So why can't UCEDA do the appraisal? Why can't UCEDA do the survey work? That'll cover that. We have said from the get-go we did not want to be in a situation where we are landlords. That is exactly what has come to fruition here. We've been told that we're developing it, we're going to sell it. Why aren't we selling this? This is the time to sell this kind of an asset. And if you're going to do improvements and you're out there, you keep asking us for money, and every time you ask for money, it's the last time. Well, the last time was several resolutions ago in my book. You were able to eke out more money, but this is getting crazy. You know, take the money, find out what the value of the building is, what's its highest and best use, use your UCEDA money to determine that, and let's move on. We should not be landlords. So, and we're basically, that's what's being proposed here. We saw what happened with somebody we were banking on and trying to make this happen for. And I guess COVID has been really hard on small businesses, and particularly small businesses with very thin margins, which has been the case with Farmbridge. We all know that. And it would have been great if we could have made it work, but we can't. And, you know, why do we keep going back to a model that we know is going to be 10 times harder, it's going to require a lot more money, and I can't use ARP money for this. I mean, I don't even understand why we're not talking about selling this building. The guy across the street sold it, or is in the process of potentially selling it and getting someone to pay back taxes and all the other stuff. We have a building that's in much better shape, and we have extricated ourselves from across the way. I can't believe we're not out there looking at how we can get this building sold and put money back into the county. And on the tax rolls.
So, legislator Leitz?
Tim, if we were to sell this building, how many over millions of dollars we get? Who gets the money, the county or UCEDA?
Thank you. I think it's worth noting that in the surplus resolution, it is stated that the proceeds of the sale are returned to the county.
Okay, so you spend $200,000 of your funds, and the county gets the sale money. Okay.
Any other questions? So, I just was going to ask one, and then I'll get Tracy and then Deputy Wright. Okay. So Tim, let's go back to the potential deal, right? So, is that a purchase or a long-term lease or a combo, or what is that about?
If
you can disclose that anyway.
Yeah, I can disclose that it is not currently a purchase. Mm-hmm. It is yet to be determined. Probably a joint venture that would end in a development agreement that could result in an eventual purchase, but it's not an outright sale.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Legislator Bartels.
I just have a clarification question on the question that Legislator Litz just asked. It was my understanding that the money that would go back to the county would be after the expenses were reimbursed to UCEDA for its costs. So if UCEDA were to expend money for a survey, as Legislator Archer suggested, that money would be reimbursed to UCEDA prior to reimbursing county the sale price. But someone correct me if that's incorrect.
I honestly don't remember that level of detail of the resolution, quite honestly.
My understanding is that would be only at the discretion of the legislature of the county. That it states clearly that the proceeds of the sale are returned to the county.
Okay, any other discussion on this? Okay, so, I'm sorry, Deputy Wright, I forgot about you.
Just to elaborate on the question that you asked about the plans with the developer and kind of answer the implied question about sale timing, I think we're really trying to ensure that we don't get a repeat of what's gone on with the current owner. And so the process that the UCEDA board is doing, I think, looking to work out with the potential developer is a structured process that would start with a limited engagement and a lease and have some development timeline goals that are agreed to in it, that if successful performance occur would eventually lead to a sale. So the goal is very much to sell the building, but to ensure that we're not just selling it to somebody else who sits on it. So we're trying to balance those goals.
So, thank you.
Yeah,
Majority Leader Hepner?
We echo Legislator Archer's one point. I think was actually kind of a question and a statement at the same time. And as someone that has supported every resolution into this property, including the transfer into UCEDA, especially the last upgrades we made that was we were told was the last bit of upgrades we needed to make, with the understanding that these are actual county tax dollars that we're spending. Again, though, is how do we have the guarantee as a legislature that this isn't just another trip in the faucet, that this isn't a stream that's just going to keep coming and keep being poured into this property? What kind of reinsurance do we have as a legislative body and within our fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers that we're not again just draining more and more funds and becoming a landlord? What guarantee do we have as representatives?
So first, I would just point out that this request is the use of ARP funds and not county taxpayer funds, recognizing that those are eventually taxpayer funds as well, but just to clarify that. And
but the funds that could go to mental health services, could go to addiction, could go to a lot of...
Which they are proposed to do as well.
But, again, these are significant funds, that, again, that we're investing into this property.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I think, the idea is that they are in an investment, and that's always been... I think that's always been the case that we've been making here, is that this is a regionally significant site that requires, quite frankly, investment, and that, as Deputy Executive Wright pointed out, if we don't do this right, ends up in the hands of somebody who either does nothing or does something worse. And so I think the investments that we've come to you to ask for are, quite frankly, the necessary investments to get us to a point where we can hand this off to a responsible developer, and that's been the goal. That's, I think, in the documents that we've shared, that's stated as the goal. And so I recognize the uncomfort that it causes to come back asking for more, but I hope you all also recognize that we are trying to accomplish the same goal here, and that it's unfortunate that it's tricky and challenging and risky thing, but that's the situation that we're in.
Okay, Legislator Litz.
So if UCEDA is acting like a real estate agent, and you're going to go to the bank, or somebody, prospective buyers coming, and a survey is required, a title search is required. That's usually done by the owner. So
that's the owner now.
The county, yeah. Okay. So I don't know why we would not invest in what it takes to sell this property, because if you don't do these things, we're just going to sit on it forever. Mm.
I see that there's $100,000 in here for property management too.
Yeah, that was going to be a question I asked too. Is what could you give us a little background on that aspect of it? Since, this is in theory in preparation to go into a deal with someone, right?
Yep.
So why would then you see to need $100,000 for property management?
For the simple fact that there will be a time here where we do not have a developer partner, where we are working out that partnership, and there is still property management needs that are required for this building. And it's currently owned by UCEDA. UCEDA is taking responsibility for those duties, and therefore there's a cost associated with that. And there, quite frankly, aren't the resources free and available.
I just want to ask one more thing. So then, aside from this perspective developer who has iPark 84, right? Are there other people looking to do things outside of that deal that, maybe I know that I'm on the UCEDA board, so I'm privy to this stuff that, we discussed renting space for storage and things like that, maybe, practice space for musicians and black boxes, things like that. Has there been anybody approach the county to do any of those things since we last discussed that?
Yeah, that's a steady stream of requests. And right. I think the challenge is that filling those requests requires an expense for UCEDA to manage the property as those uses take place. And without funds to do that, it's impossible for us to accommodate any of those uses.
So how close are we to filling some of those requests? And would this $100,000 for...
It would enable it.
Yeah.
There is, again, the 22 submissions that we received a year ago almost, Many of them are still eager to take up some either temporary or short-term space in the building, which quite frankly could generate revenue that would help offset some of these costs, but we can't do that until we have the ability to manage the property.
And when you say manage your property, what are we talking about specifically? Like cutting the grass and cleaning the windows?
Yeah, I mean, this is a 400,000 square foot building on 20 plus acres. There is a lot of cost associated with maintaining and managing that property.
Got you.
As well as, you know, if we start taking on tenants, even if they're short-term tenants, that requires an extra level of effort, that requires managing tenants, that requires managing leases, receiving checks for payment. All of that is important work that we would necessarily take on with those steps.
And then, so let me, Abe hasn't spoken yet.
Okay,
thank you. The way that I am approaching this, you know, and in terms of our role, you know, as legislators, is the redevelopment goals, I think, are pretty significant. I mean, we've talked a lot about Ulster 2040, and we adopted that as a vision, as a shared vision, but that, you know, alone is merely a resolution unless we actually act consistently with that. And it seems to me, if we were to walk away from this property and try and transact it to the highest bidder, that would be walking away from these redevelopment goals. And my understanding of USITA and the vision I would like to participate in fulfilling for USITA is one where it's something other than, we give you a building for $1 million, can you bring us back $1.5 million? Like, that's not, it's not, you know, an E-Trade account. Like, this isn't, you know, that's not the goal here, right? And I appreciate that this is going to take some of the logistical burden off of USITA, because there are lots of businesses in this county that who are trying to, you know, invest and grow their own business, and I want us to be able to support them. So I hope that while I'm not happy about the cost, certainly not, I do hope that this is in furtherance of that goal and that we're remaining committed to these redevelopment goals.
Great. So I think, Tim, could you please just describe how the RFI was constructed to incorporate the 2040 goals, right? I mean, so that's something I think is important.
It's kind of the very first goal of the RFEI was to provide space to allow for the growth of our existing businesses in these target industries. And I think that's ultimately, as you've seen, Brian, by virtue of your position on the USITA board, the submissions that we got pretty clearly, you know, represented those sectors. The comments and feedback that we got in conversations with community members reinforced that those are the businesses and entities that they'd like to see in the building, the uses they'd like to see. So I think we stand ready to be able to support those businesses in furtherance of these goals, but quite frankly, there is a financial challenge here. There's a financial obligation that USITA, you know, is not a separate entity. USITA is a component unit of Ulster County that has the ability to do this uniquely. That's why it was the entity to which the properties were surplus. So again, I ask for your help partnering to get these goals done. That's really
good. So, Evan, did you have another question?
I do.
Okay.
I just have to say this, because when we first started this conversation about and took over that facility, we talked about what it would take to understand what we even had. I back then asked for, when are we doing appraisal? When are we doing an engineering report? We had all these other things that we were spending money on, and I feel like it's not been heard. And I'm really annoyed at this juncture, because I really believe that it has been mismanaged. With there have been dependencies on businesses you think are gonna be going in there, and quite frankly, and I've said this before, and when we passed the 2040, it was the intent to have more dialogue, because yes, it was a valuable insight from various businesses and business people in our community, but none of that data has been validated. Does it make sense for Ulster County? It kind of makes sense. It makes sense to the business community and people talking, but we haven't really done the kind of study that you do when you're talking about investing a lot of money and having government take on a position of redevelopment in a public-private partnership. We talk about it, but we have not done any of the work. Now we're doing the work. Now we're being asked to do more money. I got to tell you, this is not giving me a lot of confidence that there is a real understanding of what redevelopment means and how you take a property the size of this and try to do something like this. We don't have the expertise in government. We are in the wrong, we're in the wrong job here. We have an asset that we could leverage and try to utilize, and I got to tell you, every turn we're being asked for more money, we've got another story, I'm saying I'm not confident at all.
Okay. Okay. So any other discussion? Anyone else have any other comments before I call the vote? Okay. So then on resolution number 450, which is establishing capital project number 601, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? We have 4-4-2 opposed, so it passes.
I'm sorry, who were the two opposed?
James and legislator, DeLon, legislator Archer. Okay, so then we have resolution 451, which is approving the execution of a contract for $435,000 entered into by the county by the USEDA, Department of Economic Development. So this is the contract. Second?
Second.
All those in favor, or you want to discuss this more, or?
I'm a no.
Okay. any other discussion on moving this over to USEDA? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, so the same vote. Okay. Thank you. And I just want to say I appreciate, you know, your concerns. And you know, we have, and Herb can attest to this, that we have very similar discussions on the USEDA board. And they come up, you know, over and over. You know, we really are at the point where we're saying, okay, let's see something, right? And I think from the last couple of meetings that we're really on the cusp of seeing it. I honestly, well, you know, right. So I think
how much more did we put in? I'm sorry,
yeah.
Chairman.
No, that's okay.
How much more did we put in,
yeah,
and not get any return on it? All these promises and this vision. I appreciate all of that, but let's talk reality here.
Yep, I hear you. And I think that, you know, Mr. Weedman, you quite understand that, you know, if we have to have this conversation again, it's not going to go well, right? You know, all right. Thank you. All right. So resolution 452, approving the execution of a contract for $95,558 entered into the county by PK 30 Systems for the Department of Economic Development.
I'll move.
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Resolution number 453, which is authorizing the chair of the legislature to enter into intermunicipal agreements with various municipalities for the on-the-job training program through the Ulster County Office of Employment and Training.
I'll move for discussion.
Okay.
Second.
Okay.
I just have a quick question on this because I don't recall. There's no budget in this. There's no estimate on numbers. Do we have any historical data of what has transpired with this program? I know we didn't have it last year, right?
No.
Did we have it last year?
Yeah.
Okay. And what was the experience? I mean, I don't recall ever having it where we didn't have a general budget of what we thought it was going to be.
Sure. So this is the on-the-job training program, which is the adult on-the-job training. And this resolution is a framework MOU so that we can place people. I think there's a Kingston Municipal Parks. But so we can place people at municipal occupations. So that's why this resolution is coming before you. But this is, sporadic throughout the year as we make matches between particular candidates and particular businesses. And so we do roughly a dozen of them a year, and they're anywhere from a 4 to 12 week placement where the employer guarantees that upon successful completion of the OJP period, then the person will have a job.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's pretty good, actually.
So it's about a dozen that we have got on your system. Okay. All right, thank you.
Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, thank you. 454, which is approving the execution of a contract amendment for $112,500 entered into by the county for United Way of Ulster County Department of Economic Development.
I'll make the motion for discussion.
Okay.
A second.
Okay.
No.
What? I just want to clarify, this is not our OET resolution.
Oh. Hold it. We're getting a clarification of what it is.
454?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see the resolution.
It says on the printout, it says Department of Economic Development.
It says so here too. And in here, Office of Employee and Training is on the actual resolution. So this is
Sorry about
the typo is on the header. and on the agenda, but the actual resolution has, I'll read it from the resolution, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $112,500 entered into by the county, United Way of Ulster County, for the Office of Employment and Training. That's better, right?
I apologize. I don't know how I must have copied that.
And so I'm going to just strike on the sign sheet here. And so when we sign it, we're signing the right thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. Accept a motion.
So moved.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Actually, I don't think this is going to Ways and Means, though, is it?
Yeah, maybe not.
No. So I think that what we'll request then is that, you know, if you could get that to us as soon as possible, you know. It says economic. It's in there. I'm sorry. It's all in the same paragraph. That's all. Sorry. Yeah. So, yeah. So if you could get that by Ways and Means, Deputy Milgram, we would appreciate that. Yeah. Herb?
John, is it that the federal government reimburses $12 an hour, even though we could pay $15? It's just that for the program, we would have to kick in an extra $3 an hour of county money as opposed to what the federal government gives us $12.
Should be in here.
Yeah, that's not what the backup says. The backup says $100 an hour, and in some instances,
100% federal.
So that was a confusion to me. But it may be what Deputy Executive Miller was saying, that it has to do with the timing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it says the Fed pays everything.
Get the answer.
Yeah. So then, you know, all right. So is it okay? You guys are comfortable if we pass it here and you guys deal with it there?
Yep.
Okay. So then I'll accept the motion to move it.
So moved.
Okay. Second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. So then 455, which is approving the execution of a contract amendment for $24,532.46, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into the county for Asset Works LLC for Department of Information Services. I'll accept the motion.
I'll move it.
Move. Second. I'll second.
DeLon.
Oh, DeLon had it? I'm sorry. I didn't hear him. Okay. I'll third. No. Okay. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Thank you. 456 is supporting and authorizing a grant application to the Federal Transit Administration to accept and administer 5307 urbanized area funds under the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 for UCAT's 21-22 operating budget, and authorizing the county executive to execute any required applications or agreements to accepting funding Ulster County Area Transit. That's a mouthful.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay. Yeah, go right ahead.
Is this in addition to the $34 million that we're getting under ARP?
Yes, it is. And we are expected to get another apportionment under ARP, but the Ulster County Transportation Council and our transportation management area are working on how this is likely going to be. So this has nothing to do with the $34 million.
Okay, and there's like another 3.4 or something potentially available, is that
okay.
correct? Yeah?
Yeah, there should be at least $2 to $3 million is what we've been told so far.
Okay. Okay, so it's separate and it's not part of
separate,
the park
it can
money.
Only it can only be used for this purpose.
Got
for
it.
Operating fund for transit.
Great. Okay, well, thank you for the clarification.
That can't beat that. Free money, right?
Nothing in this life is free.
That's true. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, great. Thank you. So then we're going on to 457, which is supporting and authorizing a grant application to the Federal Transit Administration to accept and administer 5339B funding for bus replacements and authorizing the county executive to execute any required applications or agreements to accept funding Ulster County Area Transit.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
I'll just say this. I read this and I thought to myself, diesel buses, I really want to see something about electric buses. And then I kept reading the resolution packet and did see something about electric buses later. So that's just what I wanted to say.
All right. Yep. I know that there's a shortage of electric buses. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Or nationwide?
No, there was a back order on
that. A back order?
The parts that for the charging infrastructure, but they're actually expected, anticipated to come in this week.
Oh.
Our first three.
Oh, good.
So we should be able to get them in. And,
oh, wow.
We work with the planning department and Department of Environment to do a study on the electrification of our entire fleet.
Mm.
So we're full steam ahead.
All right.
So
optimistic.
Yep. Okay. Okay, all those in favor of 457?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, thank you. 458, which is amending capital project number 529, the purchase of mass transit buses and related equipment, and amending the 2021 capital fund balance Ulster County Area Transportation.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. And then 460 is establishing a capital project number 610. UCAT equipment and facility upgrade and amending the 2021 capital fund budget, Ulster County Area Transit.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. And before we move on to old business, I just would like to recognize Sasha for a few minutes, if you guys don't mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you to all the legislators for having me. I wanted to take this opportunity to announce that I'm actually starting a position with Ulster County DA's office at the end of this month. So this will be my last meeting in my capacity as director. Probably not last, but for right now at least. Tomorrow's actually my 3-year anniversary with the county.
Wow.
I've been I've been able to witness a lot of different types of transitions, changing administrations, departments, and the most consequential transition for all of us in this room, which is the transition from a period of economic growth and stability to a time of uncertainty with COVID-19. Our number one priority since day one of COVID has been to keep our employees and the public safe and COVID-free, which I'm happy to say we've been pretty successful at. We haven't had a single case of a rider contracting COVID from being on the bus, so I'm really happy to say that. And we're at a 90% vaccination rate in the department. There was not a day that we, since the COVID began, that we shut down completely. We were able to participate in crisis response and project resilience with getting essential workers to their jobs, and in this past year in getting people to their vaccination appointments. So I'm so humbled and proud to have been a small part of that. Despite all these challenges, UCAT ridership is kind of holding steady at this point at kind of 60 to 70% of what it was pre-COVID, which is pretty good. Our mechanics, we talked about this a little bit before, are heading down to the New Flyer of America plant tomorrow to go see the first three electric buses come off of the assembly line.
Oh, wow.
And they're set for delivery in December. And we had a successful rebrand, and earlier this week we soft launched a new website, which is rideucat.com.
Great.
Cool.
I'm leaving UCAT with a stellar team. Our deputy director is here with me, Tony Roger. He's been with me by my side since I became acting director back in December 2019. And I have full confidence in her and some of the team there that work day in and day out, making sure that we provide the best possible service levels to our riders. And I'm going to miss working with them every day. I'm not going too far away. And I think ultimately, at this juncture in my career, the way I can best serve the residents of Ulster County is advocating on their behalf for the people of the state of New York and making sure we can keep our residents safe. So I won't be a stranger to UCAT. I told them they can call me at any time. And I'm so grateful to everyone in this room that I've had the pleasure of working with. And I'm hopeful that the legislature continues to provide the support to UCAT and all of our team there.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I just want to take a minute and thank you for your excellent work. You know, I've been chair of this committee since January till now of 2020, and we've really been through a lot, and it's been extremely difficult. And you really managed that department exemplary the whole time, and did a good job of, you know, with the difficulties with COVID. And I just wanted to thank you for your dedication to Ulster County, because I don't know how many of you knew, but I didn't know you were an attorney until you took this job. So thank you for, you know, coming as director of the UCAT and then now going back to your, you know, your vocation. I really, truly appreciate your time with the county. Thank you.
Good luck.
UCAT. Good luck to you. Okay. Well, thank you. So is there any old business? I don't have anything on here. Okay, we have a few items of new business that we'd like to talk about. So we have this request that's going to be before the planning board, the developers of the Kingston Meadows Senior Residence on 191 to 199 Hurley Avenue are going to be requesting an easement across the railroad tracks for us to further develop another piece of property behind the, you know, if you were looking at it, it'd be kind of like behind the Holiday Inn, the old Holiday Inn or whatever it is now, Best Western. Piece of property back there, and they're looking for an easement across the county-owned railroad tracks in order to do that. A deputy planner, I don't know if you're very familiar with this. I talked to Planner Doyle about it a little bit, and he wasn't real comfortable with where they are right now with this. And so I'm just going to recommend that, you know, we all have a copy of their proposal, and it was distributed. So please take a look at that. We're probably going to be talking about it next month in a little bit more detail. As I understand it, the county planning board has said no so far to this, if I understand it correctly. I know that they're kind of trying to rekindle it. It's been a couple of years in proposal. So we'll take another look at that probably in the next meeting or December. Okay. So we have some scheduling issues on the committee that I'd like to discuss. First of all, our next meeting would be on Election Day. I don't know about you guys, but I would rather be here, quite honestly, doing this meeting, you know, than spending time home sweating. But I know some of you guys don't sweat. I sweat. So, you know, I don't know how you guys want to do that. Do you want to just postpone it? I think we decided that the 8th would be the next best night.
Yes, that's
the November
night.
8th, Monday night.
There's a budget hearing at 6:30, so you could probably start around 6:45.
Right. We have to be there anyway, right?
Right. I mean, yeah, it's probably going to be on Zoom, but...
Yeah, that's fine.
What's that Thursday after election?
There's a special informational meeting that starts at 5:30. They expect that's the one where the financial analysts come on in. It's the big budget review. Meeting.
Oh, yeah.
And we all go... That's we did that last year.
Yeah, it was a big, long meeting. Yeah. Yeah.
It would be tough to have this meeting after that, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to tentatively schedule it for November 8th, and then if you guys want to check your calendars and see if there's an issue, just let Fawn know, and then we'll discuss it.
I believe Legislator Corcoran has an issue.
Yeah, but if it's a Zoom, I should be okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Okay. So now the second thing is I forwarded you guys an email with the memorandum from Chairman Guevara of the Ways and Means Committee, where he asked us to review the county, the departmental budgets that report through our committee here. And this is a big committee, man. We have a lot of departments, you know. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, And IS is never listed here, but they're here too, five, right? You know, so that's a lot of budgets to look at. So I don't know that, I'm going to let you folks decide how you want to handle this, but one of the things that I would suggest would be that we review them individually, review the budgets individually, and then report back to the next committee or reach out directly to the department heads or the deputy executives in charge there and see if you can resolve your question that way rather than try and do all of these at once. Legislator Archer?
Yeah, and what we've done in the past, and just FYI, is, and we're kind of behind the eight ball right now, is have them come to the committee and kind of share, give them like a 15-minute overview of their budget, share what new initiatives they're targeting and what the differences in the budget were from the previous year. Just so we have an opportunity to review the budget with the department heads.
Report.
But that's what we've done in the past, but obviously you can do whatever you think is appropriate.
Yeah. Yep. So, I'm going to leave that, up to the committee. If you guys want to schedule meetings, we can do that. If you want to schedule some meetings, we can do that. If there's, so I think initially what I'm going to request, right, because we'll have to have special meetings because I don't think we're going to, or at least one special meeting, to review all these budgets if we find stuff that we want to review. I'm just going to request that you go over these because the financial analysts, budgets, there's a lot of detail in there and it's for each department. And, I just think that.
In the last column, she puts a comparison of the 21 budget to the 22 request. Mm. If you're going to do a meeting, we would probably have to do it before November 1st.
Well, in the past, we've done special meetings and focused just on that. And within an hour and a half, you could get through all the departments and have the opportunity to have a conversation. There's some new positions they're adding that have not existed before.
Mm-hmm.
It just would be a great opportunity to just talk directly with the department head and get a sense of where they're at and what they were considering as they put in their budget.
Yep. Okay, so do any other legislators have a preference on how would you would like to handle this?
I'll just say if we do that, which I'm not opposed to, I would just ask, it would be nice if it was on Zoom. I think probably for the department heads as well, especially if they're going to have materials to present.
Yeah,
I think last year it was on Zoom by necessity.
Yes.
And I think it was actually quite nice to be able to go through their slide decks. Also ask that we give them clear guidelines on the limited time we want their slide deck to consume.
Some departments will need more than others, I think.
Yeah, which is fair. But
maybe our questions too.
Well, I would like to have space for questions as well. So
I think that's important.
So then,
we'll put Dennis last.
don't you tell him she said that. So then let's look at the calendar because it's a busy calendar. You're going to have to.
The 20th, I think, is available.
Wednesday, the 20th.
It's the night after session.
October. It's the night after session. We should be in a nice foul mood after that.
What day is that?
The 20th.
It's Wednesday, the 20th. There's a full moon that night.
Uh-oh. Oh, great. Yeah. Boy, what else can go wrong? No.
Yeah, I can do that.
All right, so are you guys good with the 20th?
That's good for me, yeah.
Okay, so now I'm just going to request John and Dr. Wright, if you guys could just give the department heads a heads up that we're going to probably be looking just for a 10 or 15-minute overview of the budget, and it's short window, I know. It's a short window.
What time are we thinking of starting that night?
Well, let's start a little earlier rather than later, like 5:36.
Want to start at 5:30?
Yeah, let's start at 5:30, and that way if we run long.
Mm-hmm. I'll just let you know, I have a commitment that night, so I probably won't make it, but I can definitely get the department head to break.
Yeah, that's what we need. Yeah.
I'll be a little late, but I'll be able to get there.
Okay, yeah. So are you guys, everybody good with that? You good with
yes.
that?
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
As far as I know.
Probably 4 o'clock. No, 5:30 on the 20th, John.
I'll set up a schedule with 15-minute intervals and try to keep everybody.
Yeah, and I really think that the way Ms. Feaster did the budget with the 2021 to 2022 is really going to be greatly going to help us a lot because we spent a lot of time going like this, you know, trying, you know, last time, and this really is a wonderful enhancement for us. Anyway,
the print could be a little bigger.
The print could be a little bigger.
I will say, like, if I think Brian or Chairman Cahill, your point about legislators reviewing the budget and accessing the answers that they to the questions they might
beforehand.
Have in departments. I'll use IS as an example. Like, if I'm going through that budget and I'm like, oh, I know something about the software and I've got lots of questions about it. I don't need to do that in front of everybody. I'll
yes,
use
right.
IS as an example. There's probably a million examples
right.
like that. So.
Right. Yep. And I encourage that. I encourage the committee to reach out as much as you need to and get your questions answered, so then when we are in the meeting, you know, we can bring it up, or it won't be an issue, one or the other, okay? All right, so we're going to tentatively schedule that. Okay, so we're not done with meeting rescheduling yet, because the November 30th meeting, the December meeting falls in November 30th, right? Yeah.
The last time that happened, a lot of people didn't get their calendars.
Right. So that happened in our August meeting, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So we have to
thank you for putting
just remember that, and just not to put any pressure on anybody, but that's my birthday.
That's November 30th.
The 30th is your birthday?
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, yep. So there's that. Okay.
Is the whole committee is committee week a week
early? Birthday
cake.
Well,
yeah. That's so, the first week of the month.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have it on the 30th. I just wanted to point out that the December meeting is going to be in November.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay.
Like public health is on the 29th and
energy
and environment they're on the 29th.
We'll be in November.
Legislative programs is the 30th. Law enforcement and public works is on the 1st.
And I'll be chairing that remotely, just so you guys are aware.
It'll probably be a Zoom,
right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, no cake. Yeah, it's going to be a Zoom meeting anyway, so
yeah.
We'll have virtual cake.
You want cake.
Cake,
you can.
I'll have cake.
Yeah. Okay, and so the last thing is we got a request from USITA does an annual training day where they spend the entire day going over rules and regulations and getting input from the various entities that they interact with, and one of them is obviously this committee. And they sent a request to me today to see if anyone wanted to attend the meeting. I think it was October 26th, and it starts at 10 a.m.
Can you just clarify? You're talking about the IDA.
The IDA, Ulster County IDA, yeah. Yeah, I said USITA, and it's actually Ulster County IDA. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's a tricky one.
Yeah, the English language was not kind to us.
No, but I think it was...
I'll just... I know it's right here.
Can't be too far. I think I have it.
Sorry.
Did you say Monday the 25th?
26th in the middle of the day, as I recall.
Oh,
here it is. Here it is. Here it is.
Theta training day there.
Yeah. It's Rose requested that we just meet with them on the Tuesday the 26th between 10 and 11 a.m. Okay? So that's going to be tricky for me. I'm just going to tell you right now I can't do it because I have a day job. And so I was just going to ask the committee if anyone on the committee was interested in attending on our behalf and, you know, trying, because the question is, quite simply, right, I was hoping to discuss the idea of you and or your committee attending and presenting at our Ulster County IDA training day. When I talked to you a couple weeks ago, blah, 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 I suggest that everybody be present and would really like to have you present, discuss with us from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., specifically. We are hoping to have you and or your committee discuss your thoughts on how the IDA may be able to serve the residents of Ulster County in regard to housing. And so one of the reasons why I'd like if someone could attend is because we really want to address that with the IDA.
We have a volunteer.
Yes, right. We you know, I don't know how this committee feels about it, but there's been some resistance to fund housing, and we want to make sure that the goals of the IDA are in line with what our committee thinks, and also with the, you know, the county overall. We all agree that housing is probably our number one issue in the county right now, and so, you know, we want to make sure that there are pieces in place to make sure that when we do come across a potential for a proposal, that the IDA is going to be very fair in how they select a candidate, right? So, you know, there's obviously reasons for discussion on housing with the IDA. So if anyone can attend, I would appreciate it. I have Yeah, and I absolutely cannot. I have a you can make it, so...
Yeah,
so,
I'll be there.
I'll try, but okay. I
no, that's fine. All right.
I'll try.
So what I'll do is I'll say that we're at least going to have a couple people there, maybe three, and then we'll see if Mary Beth can make it, you know. And then from there, we'll take it from there. Because I do, and if anyone would like to have a one-on-one discussion or discuss amongst each other what you think we should be doing there, let's do that, you know, and, you know, get our opinion out there. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, so anybody have anything else they want to bring up for new business tonight?
Can I just ask a request on the IDA piece?
Yes.
They made some policy changes with regard to housing and UTEP, et cetera, and so it would be helpful for us to get a copy of what changes they've just enacted. I think it was this past year. So it would be helpful to at least preview that, mm-hmm. and ensuring it's aligning with direction where we've all talked about.
Okay. So then, are you talking about the changes, the what they call annual changes that took place in the beginning of the year?
Yeah, they made a couple, and I think there was even a policy change with regard to housing that aligned with statute. So it would be helpful just to have that piece.
Okay.
I think they did a write-up on it. I haven't seen it.
Okay.
I'm sure
I will request that.
If it's on the website, it may even be there. I don't know.
I will definitely request that. Okay. Sir?
I guess I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Okay. Thank you all for coming here to the Bear.